Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show. I am Bat Snacks.
And I'm Tim Aces.
And today we have a special guest joining us, the caster of the Team Liquid Spite Club, a StarCraft Brood War tournament.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Bisu Dagger.
Bisu Dagger joining us today.
Did I pronounce your screen name right there?
Absolutely. And it's funny if you're familiar with Tasteless and Artosis, the GSL casters.
Yes.
They actually had fun talking over my name during one of the GOM TV finals.
Oh, is that true?
And because I was hosting a party, a StarCraft party in Orlando. And and so they were breaking it down. But Bisu means Assassin's Dagger. And so basically my name's... It stands for Assassin's Dagger.
Okay.
It's Korean for Assassin's Dagger.
Exactly.
So Bisu, okay. The whole word is Assassin's Dagger.
Oh, exactly.
That's still a cool screen name. I mean, you know, now everyone knows that it's Assassin's Dagger, but
yeah,
you know, before
you can only be the best fan of Bisu if you're twice the Bisu.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That makes sense. So
very cool.
Earlier in our episodes, we covered the announcement of StarCraft Remastered. It's a complete HD remake of the original StarCraft Brood War,
which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it too. And we have Bisu Dagger here with us today to talk about some of the cool stuff about StarCraft and StarCraft Remastered. And, you know, what we have to look forward to with this game that's coming out now this summer. So,
Has the release date been announced yet, for certain yet? Or?
Oh, not for people in the public, no.
It was announced for May.
it hasn't been officially announced. That was one of the rumored dates. I mean, there's rumored dates that span through May, June, July. Mm-hmm. You know, people are really just trying to hone in on the summer. But we'll just have to see what Blizzard's going to come out with.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like summer would be good, but I mean, any time really would, I think, would work. It's not really in direct competition with anything as an RTS.
Blizzard games are always in competition with themselves, though. And with BlizzCon at the end of the year, they're always trying to think, how can we make BlizzCon awesome? So they want their release dates to work out with that.
That's true. And they probably have some summer. They probably have some summer Overwatch thing going on, too, that they haven't announced yet, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that was actually one of the big things last year, because StarCraft started to get really big with Africa TV. They're like a Twitch competitor in Asia. They actually have more people signed up on Africa TV than Twitch. It's just phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, they're huge.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I actually, Little Susie, who used to be a big part of StarCraft 1 and 2, she's now a Twitch representative, so we're just kind of bashing heads against each other as she goes to Korea and try and convert people. So, Africa TV got together with Blizzard, and they're like, we're going to start running StarCraft 1 tournaments again. And they're like, okay, you can do that. We won't charge you a penny for it, but you've got to run Overwatch ads ad nauseum throughout the entire tournament.
Throughout the whole stream, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, everybody can play StarCraft 1 knows Overwatch.
Yeah.
So the Africa TV site, would you say that that's kind of what's building the momentum behind this resurgence of StarCraft Brood War?
That and shoes. So
shoes?
Yes, as odd as it is.
Wait, what?
So back in 2013, I messaged this guy named Sonic because I heard that he was important to StarCraft 1. And this was when everybody just left and StarCraft scene was barren. But there's this guy named Sonic in South Korea who was just like, I'm going to cast StarCraft, but I'm going to try and make boatloads of money by selling shoes. Well, his venture took off so well that not only was he sponsoring StarCraft 1 tournaments, but StarCraft 2. He had one of the English, like, Manchester United, like, B teams that he was sponsoring. It was so random, but he completely rejuvenated the StarCraft 1 scene. And then he got into a bunch of issues with loan sharks and disappeared from the scene.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's kind of an insane story. So he sold shoes, and they took off, and then that kind of was the catalyst for StarCraft to...
He had, like, this extremely successful career, disappeared, and then Africa TV found the gap and said, well, it's still really popular.
Let's just bridge the gap, yeah. Wow,
yeah, the guys, two, three years ago, these guys that started streaming on Africa TV were making $25,000 a month. by Holy donation, crap. Stream donations.
That's insane. That's ridiculous.
That has to be so much more than any Twitch streamer.
Yeah, these guys are hands down the richest gamers there are in the world. I know that Flash, Bisou, Jadong, the three best players of the races are making like $50,000 a month in donations. They're just making it.
Good grief.
Wow, that's crazy. So do you think part of the, a big part of why Blizzard is doing this now is because they're trying to, like, all right, we know that StarCraft 1 is kind of revitalized, and, you know, it's obviously showing its age at this point with, you know, I mean, the graphics still hold up, obviously, but, you know, the resolution-wise and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they're trying to basically want
to... There's also some issues with the multiplayer servers. Like, US East and US West, the old multiplayer servers that you would play Brood War on have kind of gone way downhill. There's lag issues.
Are they still online with all that?
Okay, well, still online.
Well, really, only like the East server for Battle.net was the one that was really surviving in terms of servers that existed. And then there was a branch between Icy Cup, who is also famous for hosting Warcraft 3 tournaments, and Dota type stuff,
right?
Yeah, they're their own server. And then there's Fish, is the Korean server that is really popular on the East side of the world. So there's those two that were competing against each other. But to start from the very beginning in terms of why Remastered is coming out, purely from the Blizzard standpoint, is Mike Morhaime, the CEO of Blizzard, he quoted, and this isn't exact, but he said, "One of my biggest regrets is how I dealt with the transition from StarCraft 1 to StarCraft 2, because he loved StarCraft 1 so much. You know, back in the 90s, he was actually a part of the team. He worked on unit behaviors. He had his big hand in there. Even though he was the vice president, he still took time to be involved in the creation of those games.
He was really involved.
Yeah, so seeing his baby just kind of die off, and then everybody blame him for it, he's like, I've got to bring it back. I got to get in the good light with everybody.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I remember when StarCraft 2 came out, there was, I don't know if this is exact, but I think Blizzard pulled the broadcasting rights for Brood War in Korea and kind of forced them to transition to StarCraft 2. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, it was the first time where Blizzard won the lawsuit in Korea, where they could sue anybody or demand a price for every tournament that was hosted. So basically, you know, they used to be able to run these tournaments every year for free, but now if you have a prize pool of a certain amount, Blizzard has to get a chunk of it.
Wow.
And that kind of forced them to switch to StarCraft Brood War. And
It was part of it. I mean, that on top of the big scandal with Savior, who was the three-time MSL, three-time OSL, greatest Zerg in the world at the time, fell apart and then got involved in a match-fixing scandal. So all the sponsors started to pull out because they didn't want to be involved with illegal betting. That was really something that looked bad. So Blizzard with StarCraft II doing the thing that they're doing on top of the sponsors saying, oh, let's, you know, take our hand out of this business. Everybody just kind of switched over.
And then that kind of died off, unfortunately. It's still going on, but it's not... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think StarCraft II was ever as successful as Brood War in Korea.
In Korea, reason. Yes. Yeah. They're their own success story and their own completely different way when you want to talk about the foreign scene involvement.
Yeah. So, how do you... Do you have any insight into the remaster? Is there any exciting details that maybe you know that we don't know at this point? Or
well, I know mostly in terms of personnel that's coming back, but let's talk about Remastered itself, what it's offering, so that way everybody knows what Remastered is. So Remastered not only is changing the graphics of the units. So here's the thing. When this was announced, everybody who is a veteran of StarCraft 1 went, oh man, please don't screw this up. What are you going to do?
Right.
And the reason is everything is sprite maps. When you're playing StarCraft 1, it's not these 3D graphics. You're literally looking at portrait squares that are moving around. And each sprite map is consisting of these animations. And so they have to be pixel perfect or else you break the game. Because in the first 2 minutes of the game, you could have a Terran player that's on the top of a ramp, putting a barracks supply depot wall on top of the ramp so a Zerglin can't get through. Now, on every map, the arrangement of those buildings is different, which is just absolutely hilarious in its own right. So you have to make sure you wall off against Zerglings. But if the Zergling, let's say, was like a pixel or 2 pixels skinnier in its width, then the ramps that you're going towards, like, let's say, top left or top right, would suddenly be broken, and your Zerglings would be able to run into that base, regardless of the walls that you thought had worked for the past 10 years. So there's tons of pressure that the artwork is that exact, so you don't break the game at any level.
So the artwork, it needs to be, like, updated, but it needs to retain basically its exact same size and kind of shape and all that stuff in order to completely have, like, an identical experience almost.
Exactly. Height by width. And I think the only thing that you really have a buffer with is that maybe they could say, well, we have increased computer performance, so they can put more into a pixel. That's basically what it is. They make sharper pixels.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's really interesting. The art does look really good. I saw some up-close screenshots of it, and it's a good... I think it strikes a good balance between... You know, they could have gone kind of crazy with the 3D or something like that, but obviously, like you said, that would kind of break the same geometry. But it strikes a good balance between like that and like staying true to the kind of what the original look is.
Yeah, I think anybody who's coming in to the game that isn't you know, someone who's been a veteran for a long time will look at it and really enjoy it. And I think that anybody who has played the game and wants to get nostalgic, they can still come in there, they'll get used to it, and after a while you're like, yeah, this is a lot better than I expected. And so it really has made great improvements.
Yeah. Are you allowed to talk at all about, do you know anything about online? Like, obviously Blizzard has talked about it a little bit, but, you know, Battle.net is kind of a different beast these days, you know? The original Brood War had a fantastic... Like, I love Battle.net. It was just a fantastic service. And I just don't know where they're going with it for the new one,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, the game plan is to get it part of their entire Battle.net platform. I mean, that's where they want to be. They want every game to be able to launch through that. Because it's their central command center. Mm-hmm. And so it's really good for them to be able to have... You know, every game that a player wants to look at, and then the ones that they drool over but don't have, are all going to be listed there.
Right.
So it's a really good marketing ploy to bring it all together. So they're going to have their own servers, which is great, because this is one of the only companies that just runs servers for your entire lifetime, really.
Yeah.
But they're also giving support to, let's say, the Fish server, because they know that there's a lot of competitive players over there that they can't cut off. And so I'm actually working with some of the foreign servers, like Icy Cup. There's another big one called Shield Battery that's run by Team Liquid staff members themselves. And we're working to actually get ours on the page with Blizzard, too. Like, hey, make sure you give support to us, because we've been here, too.
That's really cool. I mean, it sounds like they're listening to a lot of their fans with this. So sounds like they're doing it right here.
So Blizzard is actually taking community private servers and could potentially put them in their official Battle.net.
Yeah, that's true. It can be a selectable item when you go start in the start screen, then you go into C, you can go to LAN mode or any of your servers. You can select Fish as one of them, might be able to get some of the others in the future.
That's really cool.
Yeah, in regards to bugs, I think there were, like, in just a Team Liquid thread, we compiled 89 within, the first couple hours for the public test realm. It was absurd.
Wow.
And they fixed almost all of them when they came out with their update to the 1.18 patch.
Wow,
so it's kind
fantastic.
Of really cool.
Yeah,
that's a really fast turnaround. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you kind of hoping that like a next generation kind of gets into Brood War, because it's like you said, it kind of fell off, and there's a lot of people these days that, you know, they play a lot of Blizzard games, but they, you know, that maybe they played StarCraft 2, but StarCraft 1, you know, was 1998 or whatever. Like, especially with, obviously, in Korea, obviously, it's been big for a while. But over here in the U.S., it's fell off a lot. So, I mean, Blizzard's got to be hoping that, like, oh, you know, especially with Twitch and all these streamers and et cetera, that like they're going to get a new interest of people coming back to this game or seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's our hope too, across the board. So Kongdu is a broadcasting company that has basically took all of the top players under their wing in Korea, but they're also trying to bring in new players too. And so they're trying to foster the team atmosphere out there. Africa TV is throwing in the money on that side. And then there's a lot of independent people. I know, like, XSplit. Are you guys familiar with the XSplit broadcasting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually communicate with them on a basis, too, where they are huge fans of StarCraft 1. They're trying to find the best places to throw their money into the barrel. You know, Team Liquid itself is just like, hey, you know, we see this coming back. This would be awesome. You know, how do we provide more news? How do we provide our own support and be the best foreign team available? So everybody's kind of on the radar here of, okay, when Remastered comes out, how do we foster this scene so that way new players and really old players can come back and have fun?
I'm really looking forward to watching StarCraft again, because I do occasionally watch, you know, the foreign tournaments occasionally, but I'm just excited to see people streaming it again, see some more casual tournaments going on. You know, I'm excited to be able to go online and watch that, and obviously partake in it too.
Yeah, and what's going to make it really fun for you is all the features they're adding into the replay features. So there used to be a whole bunch of mods and add-ons that the independent community had to create. So
I remember that.
Yeah, your APM, your EAPM, the time in the game, the resources.
You could see all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all been integrated in these replays. And on top of that, you can have a replay from Remastered and or a replay from before Remastered with the old version, and it will play in the Remastered version. So you can go back and forth. They're backwards compatible. And in fact, if you want to play against someone who has Remastered and you have the old version, you can literally play, and on your screen you've got the old view, and on their screen they got the new view. But
that's
you're still
insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is crazy.
So you can like whatever you want. Blizzard said the hell. You know, everybody gets to have the cake they like.
That I guess that really goes to show how detail-oriented they are in making the two, you know, making the remaster play identical to the old version. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Wow. Yep.
Something.
So there's a trend in competitive games right now where pretty much every single top game is a remake of an old game. You've got like Dota, League of Legends, Counter-Strike, and all of those games have been around for like 20 years pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not 20, but yeah, a while.
Counter-Strike and Dota have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But so now StarCraft Remastered is coming out. Is this going to be like the next big RTS? Because there isn't really a big RTS right now that competes with, I mean, I guess like Dota is technically an RTS, but it's not a classical one like StarCraft is.
Yeah.
Is StarCraft Remastered
StarCraft Remastered is going to hold its own until maybe this BlizzCon. I don't know if Blizzard's ready, and this isn't from an official source, but I'm fairly confident that Warcraft 4 is being worked on. You know, really? they have very alluded to, oh, we want to make sure we continue the Warcraft franchise. I've heard that from many different avenues. And so I think definitely StarCraft Remastered, it's going to get its breathing room. So maybe it'll have the entire year. And then maybe following 2018 BlizzCon, we get Warcraft 4. But I think that those are two significantly different enough RTSs that they can both rule the scene and equally do well.
Yeah.
So this could really be like the revitalization of the base building RTS. I've been missing that for so like there really hasn't been, you know, you talk to someone like, oh, you know, RTS now, and they think of like League of Legends or something. And I've just been missing this so much that
Here's the problem. Sometimes people think about an RTS and they'll even see it and then they'll be like, man, this is like going out and doing yard work. There's so much you have to do. You know, I just want my one dumb character with four keys on
four
a keyboard.
Abilities. Yeah. That's the
not,
worst.
Not that we all haven't had wasteful hours of fun, and whether it's Dota, League, Heroes of the Storm.
Absolutely.
You know, but there's something intrinsic. You know, it's like when you're a kid, everybody, let's say like between first and fifth grade, at some point you pick up a chessboard and you play it. Because everybody's had their hand in chess. And so that's what I think StarCraft is going to be. It's going to be that game that everybody just kind of plays at some point to go, okay, let me test my skill and my grit. And then what if you love it and you're made for it, you stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that commander experience that, you know, you can outsmart your opponent using all of... You can overwhelm them with strategic pieces.
Yeah.
You don't have to work with a team to do it. It's all on you.
Yeah. And it feels so satisfying. I mean, there are 20-minute games, and you guys, you know, you said you play StarCraft 1 and 2. Whether it's 1 or 2, you just start sweating sometimes.
Yep.
And you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Mm-hmm. And then you just, you survive, and it feels good. And then you lose another 100 games, and it's okay.
And I think the sticking power of, like, the original StarCraft was, it's like, even if you're not particularly good, like you said, and you lose a whole lot, like, every game you're kind of learning, you know, from your mistakes and, like, subtly improving, and you're like, okay, I can, you know, I can change this build order, I can do this a little faster, you know, or I can, you know, I can expand a little quicker or whatever. You can always, like, learn these, like, new and interesting strategies. And a lot of the popular kind of RTS quote unquote games today, it just seems to me it's more like, okay, I remember these five commands that I need to do at time, and that's kind of it. You know, every StarCraft game is different, and it's kind of almost like a learning experience every time. So.
And what's defined the community aspect for anybody who's actually really interested in coming back? Any of the guys that you see in chat rooms these days just hanging out, like, in between games, which, you know, old Blizzard chat rooms are the best. They're really easy to just either say absolutely. A bunch of really stupid stuff or just have fun. But if you finish a game and that guy you just played is in the chat room with you, then sometimes, you know, these guys will go, hey, do you want to watch the replay and figure out what just happened? And players will start to just analyze their replays right away. And it was a really cool thing. That's why StarCraft 1 took off, is that people actually studied what they just did immediately and had fun doing it. You know, just let's share some drinks and watch this best of five that we played and see what we could do better. And there's a lot of very, very friendly people out there that will definitely help you get better at the game if you want to.
Yeah, I really loved the original StarCraft community. It was really fantastic. Just everything about it. It was great.
And UMS is still huge. And for people who don't understand the term, it's user map settings. And these are all custom-made maps for StarCraft
1. I played the crap out of custom maps.
That's what our childhood was defined by. Yeah,
I was at 99%, but I played a lot of custom maps. Yeah. Those were super fun.
Evolves, Marine Arena, was great. Micro Battles. And then my favorite was Sexy Tank Defense.
I remember that one, yes.
Yeah, and generally you don't know what the picture is going to be, but as you pass levels, a giant pixelated picture starts to appear on the mini map. And one of them was basically Strip Idra, the most famous StarCraft II player, and you would basically have his face on a naked woman that you were revealing in the mini map.
What you get with user created content.
Exactly.
I love the custom map stuff. I remember Evolves. That was like one of the first. I made like a mod to Evolves, like a special version. That was like the first mod I ever made. It was very simple, but I remember that was like one of the first things I dipped my toes into was StarCraft Map Creator. I made a version of Evolved, and then I tried to make a version of something else, and it kind of failed. But
here's the funny thing about Evolves. Evolves is a fun game where you, on either side, you have this basically hovering unit that spawns units
below
it.
Spits out enemies, all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And you throw your units at the other side, and you can mass all of them at once because you have this civilian that will walk on top of a beacon, which masses all your units to the location that you want to go.
Northwest, northeast. Southwest,
And so if you get enough kills, you evolve to another character that's even better. But there are certain levels that you evolve to, and the character is terrible. terrible. And so people will, like, just massacre themselves, so that way you will get to that level, and then they will just turtle and let you mass up the worst unit in the game. It is the weirdest strategy ever.
I do remember that. It was like... At some level past, like, 10, there's, like, one unit that's just awful. And, I don't remember what unit it was, but,
Goliaths and Valkyries, which is a great segue to the remaster. So two mm-hmm. of the bugs that are getting fixed is one, the Dragoon bug with pathing, mm-hmm. because Dragoons can get stuck on ramps, and you can literally have like 10 Dragoons stacked on top of each other spinning, and mm-hmm. spamming the stop or hold button won't allow them to get out of that spot. It will completely break a game. Yeah. And then the other one is the Valkyrie sprite bug, which also the Goliaths have. So I'm very curious. I think Blizzard is going to fix it along with the Valkyrie, but Valkyries in a mass 200 supply versus 200 supply game will not fire the missiles out, because missiles require their own individual sprite to leave the Valkyrie. And when you hit your sprite limit in the game, you cannot fire any more sprites. So they were useless.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So I guess when you get really high supply, you're just like, well, I'm not gonna make any Valkyries at a high supply level because they're not gonna. They won't be able to shoot.
Well, this happens. The latest meta for TVT, Terran versus Terran, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. late game Wraiths and then Goliaths, or not? I mean, Wraiths and Battlecruisers. Mm-hmm. And as you're getting to that point, you're trying to limit how many Wraiths your opponent is getting. So you build one or two or three at most Valkyries to kind of fit in and deal with those Wraiths. But the problem is, all of a sudden, your opponent has too many Wraiths. They've got too many units on the map. And you're like, well, these are useless. Sometimes you just kill your Valkyries. You just let them run over turrets. They're waste of supply at that point. Right. Let's build a battlecruiser and get on with it.
Right, right. Yeah. That's
good that Blizzard has the opportunity to fix some of those really old bugs that have been, you know, kind of influencing gameplay ever since the start.
Yeah, if you know nothing about the game, that's huge.
Yeah. The meta of StarCraft has really evolved, and it's just a fascinating kind of subject to me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, if you guys want to have another episode to discuss the meta, I can give you a decades of information on that.
Yeah. It seems to constantly move.
The story of StarCraft meta is a very, very long and interesting and epic story.
Kind of crazy.
Exactly. Like you get from 1999 to 2000, and that's when players realize that they can take a second base, you know?
Yeah, they're like, oh, I can expand. Whoa, what's
exactly
going on here?
Build more than 14 workers.
Right. And you're like, whoa, I didn't even realize this was possible. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's so pretty fun.
In the spirit of this show, we wanted to ask you a couple silly questions before, you know, we sign off.
Go for it.
So I've got one for you here. Your job lets you have an unlimited supply of what they make. Where is the worst place to work?
An unlimited supply of what they make. What's the worst place to work?
Yeah.
I guess a uranium factory would be pretty bad.
Yeah,
because I honestly don't want a house of uranium. I don't know how many arms I'm going to grow, but I would look like an oblong.
You probably would. They'd probably make you like store it. Like, oh, we don't have enough room in the factory. Can you take some home with you? store it in your closet or whatever.
Exactly. They give you a uranium shaped turkey for Christmas bonus.
I would hope there would be some regulations in this uranium factory. But yeah, that's a really good answer. If uranium factories exist, I don't know if they do though. But yes, that would be.
They got to make them somewhere.
That's true. No, you're right. Yeah, that's true. It has to exist somewhere.
Exactly.
And just one more question.
Go for it.
Without saying the name of it, what's your favorite TV show? So you kind of have to describe it and make a fake name.
And then we can guess, right?
Yeah, we can try to figure it out.
Okay, I'm going to go with current. I don't know my list of all time, but I'm going to go with one of my current ones.
Sure.
So I'm going to just describe it, but don't say the name.
Yeah.
Invent a new title for it.
Okay, well, pick a new title?
Yeah. So what's the name of it without saying the actual...
Okay. The title is going to be... let's have sex and murder mechanical cowboys and girls.
Have I seen this?
That's a very long title. I know what it is. I'll let you guess it for a second.
Maybe it'll make a good acronym or something.
Mechanical cowboys and cowgirls.
I love. I think. Was it Showtime? Yeah, it's on Showtime, right?
No, I think HBO.
HBO.
Yeah.
I think HBO should have went with that title too.
You know, this is by one of my favorite authors too, Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
Absolute best.
That was. Yeah.
I don't know this show. What is it?
Westworld.
Westworld? Okay, yeah, I haven't seen it. That's the one with Anthony Hopkins, right?
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, is it? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he is superb in that show. I mean, it will just completely mess with your mind. Here's the life hack to watch this show. Get that free 7 days that you can do on Amazon for HBO. Oh, yeah. Then binge it and cancel.
How many episodes are there anyway?
Like 10 or 11. Yeah. It's totally bingeable in a week, so you don't want to slow it down anyway.
Okay. That's a good strategy. I need to do that. Because, exactly. Yeah, I'm always like, with the HBO stuff, I'm always like, hey, friend of mine, do you have a spare moment to lend me, you know, Game of Thrones or whatever?
Because exactly.
I don't subscribe, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I made the mistake you did, and I thought it was on Showtime. And so I activated my Showtime, and then I was like, oh, man, I screwed up. So I had both Showtime and HBO burned in my single week. It was sad.
Well, what are you going to do? That was a really good title for the show, though. I think they should maybe go with that for the season two.
Way more compelling than Westworld to me.
Yeah, Westworld's cool. It's snappy.
Well, you know, it could be like the mic title could be like the subtext title, like Sands of Time goes under things.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Exactly. Everyone has sex and murders robots.
Yeah, the ocarina of mechanical sex.
Right, exactly. Totally. And then people that don't really know what a Westworld is, they're like, okay, I get the gist of what this show is. Let me tune in or whatever, or start being interested in it. Yeah, that's good. All right,
Bisu Dagger. Well, we appreciate you joining us for this episode of the Time Bat Show.
Yeah, thanks so much. This was very informative.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I just want to give a big announcement, guys. I have a lot going on Team Liquid for anybody who does listen. So if you guys make it over to that website, you'll find me everywhere, whether it's Africa Star League, Liquid Bets, Fight Club, casting Filthy Cup this weekend. So if you guys ever want a friendly voice or someone who will just say hi to you on the Team Liquid forums, I'll be around there.
Cool, and thanks.
Do you have a Twitter that people can maybe
anything you wanna?
Yeah, it's easy. I'm Bisu Dagger on Twitch. I'm Bisu Dagger on Twitter. On YouTube, I'm Dark Archon of Ire. But everything is just always spread apart because I'm usually getting hosted on other people's channels. So you can find me on Team Liquid TV also and Africa.tv/ASL2ENG2. That was a mouthful. All
right, cool. Well, thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
That concludes this special guest episode of the Time Bat Show. Thank you again to Bisu Dagger for hanging out with us. We hope you all have a great night. See you later.